Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
It has been 60 years since Queen Elizabeth was crowned in England, and let me try to put that in perspective for you. The Queen has personally known every president since Harry Truman. She remembers Charles de Gaulle of France, and from her rooms in Buckingham Palace, she's watched the wars in Korea and Vietnam, the Cold War and then the fall of the Berlin Wall, the First and Second Iraq Wars, the rise of the European Union, and its current struggle to stay alive.
Tonight I have my own message to you and your people. We British are Europeans. That means that we are your partners in the European community, working closely with our friends and allies for prosperity and peace.
That is the Queen speaking to the German people, that sound courtesy of the BBC, and that's also where we get Andrew Marr. He joins us from the BBC studios in London. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning to you.
Andrew has written a new book called The Real Elizabeth, an intimate portrayal of Queen Elizabeth II. And that the title alone is a little startling simply because intimacy and Queen Elizabeth don't seem to go together. This is a woman who is very, very private.
Very private, and she believes completely in being the opposite of a celebrity. You know, she doesn't give interviews, she doesn't wear her heart on her sleeve, she's not emotional and so on. What I'm trying to do is to explain to people what she does. She lives a very, very busy life at the top of the British state and around the world. But also she is very different in private. I mean, she's funny, she's a good mimic. She tells quite wicked stories about people from time to time. She's a very, very beady observer, got a very good memory. So she can talk about Reagan and she can talk about Truman and Eisenhower and so on. She knows these people. She's grown up with them.
Well, let me ask you, go back to the comment about her being very busy, because I can say that here in the States, that's not the stereotype. People think of the Queen as really just being a figurehead who sits around drinking tea and posing for pictures.
She drinks a lot worse than tea, I can tell you. But what she does, every single day of the year, apart from Christmas Day, every single day of the year, she spends hours reading the official papers of the British state. She sees all these secret intelligence reports. She sees all the advanced stuff on the economy, global economic trends and so on. She meets politicians the whole time. She sees the Prime Minister for a lengthy, completely private chat every week, pretty much, and has done all her life. And then she does all the kind of state visits. You know, she opens Parliament, she goes around the country, she's constantly visiting different parts of the country. And as head of the Commonwealth, she's sort of buzzing around the world, where about a third of the world's population comes under the Commonwealth. So, you know, you put it together and there isn't time for an awful lot of tea.
Well, let me just ask you, we're speaking with Andrew Marr about his new book, The Real Elizabeth. And let me just ask you, is she sort of an empty figure in a flowered hat? I mean, how much does she know about the interior workings of the country, and how much of an influence is she on the politics?
She knows a phenomenal amount. I was talking to David Cameron, our current Prime Minister, about this. And I said, why is it useful to go and talk to the Queen? And he said, well, does it every week. It's the time during the week when he has a completely private conversation and so has to sort of ask himself, why am I doing this with this bank? Why is this agreement with the Americans going ahead? What do I really think? She remembers every crisis and every prime minister for the last 60 years, and she's asking very direct, very forceful questions sometimes. They're talking about real things. All the way through the Cold War, she knew everything there was to know about Britain's nuclear position and the dangers of that escalating. She's a very, very plugged in, connected person at the head of the British state who chooses, because of her strange constitutional role, to say very little about it in public.
Well, let me ask you, Andrew, you're calling this an intimate portrayal. How did you get from a woman who gives no interviews, from a woman who, I understand, punishes people who reveal secrets about her private life? How did you get the information that you included?
Well, Buckingham Palace were very good to me. I've spoken to a lot of the people who work with her, those around her, both past and present. I've spoken to most of her family directly. We're making some films about her. I hope those are going to be seen in the States. And in those, you'll hear members of her family talking pretty frankly and openly You piece it together. It's absolutely true that, you know, if I said, could I have an interview, she, you know, there would be no response at all. She doesn't do that. But that's for a good reason, I think. You know, celebrities become very, very popular. We know a lot about them. We're more interested. Then we know too much about them, and they go out of fashion again. And if you're the Queen, then one of your jobs is not to go out of fashion, and that's what she seems to have achieved.
Well, she also looks askance at those who do garner a lot of public attention, and I think that possibly included Princess Diana. I mean, that may have been one of her most public stumbles, was her response to Diana's death.
That was a very, very difficult time for the Queen, because Diana was a global celebrity of a different kind, and it's not quite true that the royal family had never come across a global celebrity like that, because actually the Queen's mother, way, way back, had that kind of starry status for a while. But one of the lessons the Windsors have learned is you don't play to the cameras. You know, you certainly don't seek out newspaper editors and television presenters and spill out your innermost thoughts to them. And once Diana started to do that, of course, the palace had lost control. And it took a long time to get that control back. And, of course, it only happened after the terrible death of Diana in that road tunnel in Paris. And there was I was a newspaper editor then, and there was a pretty difficult mood, I have to say, in London immediately afterwards, because Diana had, you know, reached so many people so deeply. And it took the Queen a few days, I think, to understand what was going on, and then she did respond very effectively.
We're speaking with Andrew Marr. He is the author of a new book called The Real Elizabeth, An Intimate Portrayal of Queen Elizabeth II. This is obviously in celebration, I assume, of her 60 years on the throne. She's a pretty popular figure in the United States. I mean, when people think about Queen Elizabeth, I think Americans at least think of her fondly. Is that the case in the UK as well?
The opinion polling, the size of the crowds, however you measure it, she's enormously popular. And if anything, becoming more popular. For most people, she's always been there. You know, she's part of, a lot of people dream about her. A lot of people have little kind of fantasies about what they might talk to her about.
Let me ask you that question, Andrew. Do you have fantasies about, if you got an interview with her, what would you talk to her?
Oh, of course. There's so many things I'd love to talk to her about. I'm a political nut. You know, that's my interest. I've always been interested in politics. And so I'd love to hear what she really thought of Reagan and Clinton and Khrushchev. Haile Selassie. She had Haile Selassie to tea.
Oh, wow.
That's a thought. I'd like to hear some of those stories. She does keep a diary. I don't know what is in it. I don't know if we'll ever see it, but it would be a wonderful thing to read.
Well, does she ever give hints to what she thinks? I mean, if we've got a small political election race going here in the United States, you may have heard of it. We have any thoughts?
She'll be watching it. She'll be watching it very closely. She'll know all about what's going on, I suspect, in the Republican race. She'll be getting very interesting briefings about the different candidates, Santorum and all the rest of it. What you were talking about a little while ago, is he moving up? We won't hear her thoughts on it. What we do know, because of the politicians who go in and out, is that she's very, very aware of it, very interested. And she loves political gossip. That's the other thing. She just adores the inside story of this crisis or that.
All right, well, let's take another listen to Elizabeth's voice. This is Queen Elizabeth. Again, thank you to the BBC for the sound. And she's speaking to the Germans, partly in response to some of the struggles going on in the European Union.
Like all close friends, we do not always see eye to eye. But as friends should, we try not to let the sun go down on our quarrels.
Is Queen Elizabeth an effective, I guess in some ways, negotiator for the UK? Is her hand of friendship help?
She's never a negotiator in the sense of actually getting down to the nitty-gritty. She's been a very effective ambassador. A couple of recent examples, I think, show the kind of thing that she can do. After 100 years where the British royalty kept out of the Republic of Ireland for very good and obvious reasons, and she'd lost her close friend and relative Lord Mountbatten to Irish terrorism, she went to Ireland last year for reconciliation and stood with her head bowed in some of the most sort of sacred spots of Irish Republican national feeling. In a way, closed the circle, as I don't think any other British person could. You quoted her in Germany. I mean, she went to Dresden, destroyed by the RAF and indeed the American Air Force during the war, still a place with very, very deep scars. And in a way, she made a pilgrimage there. Not an easy thing to do and not an easy visit, but very much appreciated in Germany. And again, there's nobody else really in Britain, not here to get day gone tomorrow politicians, who could do that for us.
Well, long may she reign. Andrew Marr is the author of The Real Elizabeth, an intimate portrayal of Queen Elizabeth II. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you.
Do you folks have any Queen stories out there? 8778-MY-TAKE. We'd love to know what you think of the British monarch, or should we have a monarch here in the United States? Post your comment at thetakeaway.org. There's a conversation, lively one, going on why ticket sales for movies are down in the United States.
Hey, this is Seth from Hoboken. The reason I don't go to movies anymore is because I just have so many other means to consume media, whether it's Netflix or just general TV. I don't know. Just too much money, too much of a hassle to actually go out to a movie.
James in Michigan writes, in today's movie environment where movies like Footloose are remade, I find myself agreeing with the adult protagonists in the new movie versions and feeling, yes, those kids should not be dancing in public. Tell us your view at 8778-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.